Okay, we're starting Teremim Vav and Likutei Moran. This Torah has some names of Hashem in it. You know, it's not very easy, but at the same time, everybody should be able to follow it, hopefully, in Hashem. Let's go. We're still on the topic of clapping hands and davening. Rabbi Nezal says, Mechoas kapayim b'shas hatfilo, with regard to the concept of clapping hands during davening, ze bechinas nesinas hamito bein tzofoin ledorim. This corresponds to the halacha that's brought in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch and in the Zohar Kadosh about placing your bed between north and south. It's brought in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Abba Shaul says that he was always careful to place his bed between north and south. And on this, there's a debate between halacha and Kabbalah. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say that this means that a person should place his bed where his head faces north, his feet face south. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says is the taich of this Gemara. The Zohar Kodesh says just the opposite, that when it says that the bed should be placed between north and south, it means that the head should face east, the feet should face west, and in that manner the bed is between north and south. And this corresponds to the spheroids. Mizrach corresponds to the head, the moichin, the union of the zrichas hamoichin. The feet, which are the malchus, correspond to west. Mairav is Rochel Mavaka al-Baneha, which is, you know, the shechina, which is the malchus, which is the feet. This is what the Zohar Kodesh says. Now the question is, what are we supposed to do? And here's an item which Baruch Hashem, this is one of the things which we grabbed in while Rabbi Zal was alive. I once asked him this question. And he said, the answer is we follow neither, not that we follow neither, but the answer is that in this issue, we say, what's the expression that the Gemara brings? Chazi mai alma debar. There are many times where the Gemara says, you want to know what the halacha is? Go out and see what the Velt says, and you'll know what the halacha is. Chazi, go see mai, what, alma, the world, debar, medaber, speaking. He said, in this issue, if you look at, you know, he studied the Gedolim, the real Gedolim, which means Rav Kohelev Zal and all the Gedolim. And in this item, this is one of the halachas, like, one of the items that's brought in the Gemara, which is brought for learning, not really als asiyah. In other words, this isn't a halacha where you have to be medayik, where you place your bed at all. There's no need of being medayik. This is one of the items which pertains to knowledge only, which is a very big chiddush. You know, it takes big shoulders to be able to say something like that. But you see that Rebbe Zal made a point to say that there are halachas like that, and this is one of them. Where although we stress that the Shulchan Aruch says this, and the Zohar Kodesh says this, the answer is they're both talking in theory, not in practice. In other words, this isn't something which has to be done. In other words, this isn't an item of halacha. In other words, this isn't an item which you have to worry how you place your bed. It's an item to keep in mind, though, to know that the Gemara says this, to know that the Zohar Kodesh says this, to know that this is Torah, period. You follow? Which is very, very good piece of money in a person's pocket. This knowledge is golden diamonds, because you picture learning this Torah now and having somebody wonder, what do we do, what, how do I rearrange my house? And I'm saying, I see that Rabbi Zal said clearly that this isn't an issue of Maisa whatsoever.
He seemed to say that, but a little stronger though, that if it could possibly be done, in other words, if you could do it, you know, without, and if it comes out that way, then it's okay.
Okay, but it means that this isn't an inyan l'maisa.
Exactly, he didn't say that.
It's an item to know about. Rabbi Nezal says now, ki mito hainu bechinas zivul. The bed refers to the union of zivul, generally. Bechinas tefila, which refers to the union of tefila. Tekin yud, v'ayin tekin un ches. Next. Rabbi Nezal brings, here's where, you know, one piece of Likutei Moran, it helps for another piece of Likutei Moran. In another place in Likutei Moran, towards the beginning, one of the Torahs in the beginning, where Rabbi Nezal brings this, that tefila is the bechin of zivug, there he quotes the Zohar Kodesh, which says, anybody remember? Anybody?
No, what then?
To show the union of zivug through tefila. No, it's in Teretes. Reichev seilu la reichev ba'arovais. give praise to the one who rides in the heavens. The Zohar Kodesh says, Rabbi Nezal says here, Ubnei Yisrael betfilasam goyremin zivuga de kochebrichu eshchintei. Bnei Yisrael through the tefillah are goyrem the zivug between kochebrichu and eshchintei. Kamay shekasu, saylu lareichev barovais. Give praise to the one who rides in the heavens. Reichev da kochebrichu. Reichev is Rav Chof Vav, the master of Chof Vav, which is Zeranpin, which is kochebrichu. Aravois refers to the Shechina, Malchus, the heavens. The heavens are the bayis in which Zer Anpin resides. Bayis, Beisoi, Zu Ishtoi. That's the Shechina. You follow? The heavens. What does Aravois mean there? The heavens. The one who rides through the heavens. Okay? So now, and Rabbi Nezal brings on that, he says, Shenes Arev bo kol hagavnin. In the heavens is mixed. It's a mixture of all the colors, like a malchus, which has no light of its own, but yet it's the klolius hagavnin. It contains within it, it has kol hanacholim, choychemalayam. All the streams fill into the ocean, which is the malchus.
The malchus
is
called,
exactly. Does everybody follow that?
Right.
So tefillah is an inyan of zivug. We said that mita is an inyan of zivug, which means that mita is an inyan of tefillah. The bed is an inyan of tefillah. V'tzafayin v'doroyim zebechinas yodayim. And north and south refer to the hands. Rabbi Nezal says, v'zesh, why?
Left and right.
Exactly, left and right. Because what is Mizrach? Kadima, forward. East is forward, which means north is the left hand, south is the right hand, correct?
Right.
Now Rabbi Nezal says, V'zeh shehispalel Abba ben Yamin, this is why Abba ben Yamin davened to Hashem, where it's brought in the Gemara Brachas, sheyehei tfilosoi somoch lamitosoi, that his tfilah should be close to his bed. What does it mean, Rabbi Nezal says? Hainu shelo yehei hefresh ben hatfilah lezivug, that there shouldn't be any separation between his tefillah and the union of zivug. We'll see soon what this means. Oh, meaning there shouldn't be any difference between his tefillah and zivug. Just like in zivug, there's a hilada of shefa, his tefillah should also be moiled shefa. It should cause a yichud kutcha brichu shchintei, which gives forth a birth of shefa, a birth of whatever the person needs. That's one topic. So we see where the hands are tied into this, how important the hands are in reference to tefillah. He davened that his tefillah should be between north and south, meaning it should be meyached north and south, the right hand and left hand. By doing that, a person causes that his tefillah should affect a zivug lamala. Rabbi Nezal says, Gam al yedei mechoas kaf nimtokim hadinim. Through a person clapping hands during tefillah, this sweetens the harsh judgment from Hashem. This term, Hamtokas Hadinim, is a term that's used very often in Sifrei Kabbalah, referring to the fact that Kavyochel by Hashem, when Hashem deals with us, generally, what we receive from Hashem appears to be one of two things. It's either kindness or it's justice. Harshness, one of the two. And very often, based on our deeds or misdeeds, it justifies Hashem treating us in a harsh way, and there is a measure of harshness that's sent to us, and then it becomes a whole major effort to try to sweeten that harshness, to try to eliminate the harsh decree that Hashem has out against us. So here Rabbi Nezal says that this item of clapping hands during tefillah is one of the ways by which it's possible to sweeten a din, a harsh judgment. And now Rabbi Nezal is going to explain this based on something that's written in the writings of the Arizal. This is a little bit deep. This is not the majority of Likutei Moran, isn't the type, the style that we're going to be learning right now. But this is very privileged information. This is based on something that the Arizal discusses. It's a tiny, tiny taste of what's written in Sifrei Kabbalah. And it's presented in a way for us to be able to understand how a Jew's simple act of becoming aroused to a little extra feeling in davening, to the point where a person would clap their hands, is able to accomplish
things which the greatest tzaddikim were able to accomplish by thinking very deep thoughts about names of Hashem. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Kiyesh gimel havayos shehem bechinas gimel yodayim, yad hagdoila, yad hachazoko, yad haroma. The most basic name of Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is bigimatri. It has a numerical value of 26. Three times Yud Kei Vav Kei corresponds to the three hands, Rabbi Nizal says. We find that in the Torah speaks about the hand of Hashem certain times being outstretched in kindness to us. The Torah says that when a Jew wants to return to Hashem, Yemin Hashem Pshuto Lakabel Shovim, Kavyochel, the right hand of Hashem is extended to welcome a person back to Hashem. This doesn't chas v'shalom mean anything physical. It doesn't mean the physical hand of Hashem. It means in a spiritual, it's being presented in such a way for us to be able to understand. But it means something spiritual that's called the kindness of Hashem is symbolized by the right hand of Hashem. That's also called in the Torah, Yad Hagdoila. Gedula is synonymous with chesed. Just as when we say in Shachris, Vayivorech David, L'cho Hashem ha-gedula v'ha-gvura v'ha-tiferes v'ha-netzach, gedula is used as a substitute for chesed. It's synonymous with chesed. So when we talk about the yad ha-gdoyla of Hashem, it's the right hand of Hashem. When we talk about the yad ha-chazok of Hashem, the powerful hand of Hashem, that's the left hand, which represents gvura, which meets out justice, harshness. Then there's a third term that's used in the Torah called yad roma. Ubnei Yisrael yotzim imitzrayim biyad roma. The Jews left Egypt with the outstretched hand of Hashem. That's a third term, which the Arizal says this yad roma refers to a combination of the right and left. It's a mix of chesed and gvura. Exactly. So here Rabbi Nizal says that there are these three hands, kaviyochel, three Yadayim that are used about Hashem. Yad HaGdoyla, Yad HaChazoko, Yad HaRoma. V'yad Yemin ze Yad HaGdoyla, V'yad Smoil ze Yad HaChazoko. U'bishas hako shenischabrim yachad. And when a person claps the hands, and the two hands come together, ze bechinas Yad Roma. This is what's called Yad Roma. Now the word Yad itself symbolizes Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, because the word Yad is made up of two parts. The letter Dalet, which stands for the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the Yud stands for the 10 letters of the Milui of Yud Kei Vav Kei. When we take Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei and we write out each letter as a word, Yud, we spell it Yud Vav Dalet. Hey, we spell it Hey Aleph. Vov, we spell it Vov, Aleph, Vov. And Hey, Hey, Aleph, there's 10 letters there. So the Poshut and the Milui of Yud Kei Vav Kei are Dalet Yud, or Yud Dalet. So that many times in the Sifrei Kabbalah, the word Yad is used to refer to symbolize Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Rabbi Nizal says these three Yodayim represent three times Yud Kei Vav Kei. This is one piece of a puzzle that we're going to put together now. Vadiburim hayoitzim heim yoitzim mehagoroim. And when a person davens and they speak to Hashem, the words come out from the throat. And the throat is bigimatria gimel po'omim elikim. Very often in Sifrei Kabbalah, the throat is used to represent gvura, tzimtzum. Because within the parts of the body, where there's a lot of room, where there's pipes that are wide, we refer to that as a concept of chesed. When things come to a bottleneck, things come to a very tight spot, that represents tzimtzum, constriction, or din. When we talk about a person who things are going well for, we say he has a lot. He has broadness. In other words, harchovas hadas, he has a lot of room. When a person's in trouble, when a person's in prison, or a person's in exile, he's in a limited space, solitary confinement, that kind of concept. So the goroin is called meitzar hagoroin, the constriction in the throat. And the throat is used to represent Hashem's harshness. The name of Hashem that's usually used for harshness is Elikim. Goroin is three Elikims, which means it's triple din. It's very harsh. So there's the three elikims, which are represented by the throat, and there's three havayas, which are represented by the two hands and the act of bringing them together. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'heim nimtokim al yidei gimel havayos. The three elikims of the throat, which represent three measures of harshness, are sweetened by the three times yud kei vav kei of the hands. V'zeh pirush, this is what the pasuk in Tehillim means when it says, Nafshi bechapi somid, my soul is in my hands constantly. Rabbi Nazal says, Nefesh zebechinas dibur. The nefesh symbolizes speech. Kama shekosuv, Nafshi yotza bedabroi. I give forth my soul in my words. When a person prays to Hashem, they're pouring out their heart, or they're pouring out their soul. It's called outpouring of the soul. Hainu bechinas tfila. Kama shekosuv, toireif nafshoi biapoi. The Gemara there says, speaks about Hashem kavyochel tearing up a person's tefillah, chas v'shalom, in a certain instance. Bechapi, so nefesh refers to tefillah. Bechapi, hainu bechinas mechoas kaf. My soul, my tefillah, is with my hands. I employ this item of clapping hands during the tefillah. Al yidei zeh v'soyroscho loy shochochti. The end of that pasuk is that Hashem, I do not forget your Torah. Rabbi Nazal says that the first letters of V'soyroscho loy shachochti, Roshei Tevois Shin Lamed Vov, the first letters are Shin Lamed Vov, Bigimatria Gimel Havayois V'Gimel Elikim, Hainu Hamtoka Sadinim. The Gematria of 336 is the combination of three times Yudke Vovke plus three times Elikim. So what Rabbeinu Zal is saying here is that the Dovra Melech is showing us in Tehillim that when a person is davening and they use their hands in the tefillah also as a form of expression in the tefillah, as a form of hislavus, this affects a sweetening of the din. That if there is any harshness that's decreed against this person, which would be represented by these three measures of alikim, the three yud kei vav kei is generated by the hands that overlay those three elikims. And these three letters, Shin, Lamed, Vav, mean peace, Sholev. We're going to see, I was going to quote a pasuk, Sholev means Shalva, peace. That when a person succeeds in sweetening Shishness of Hashem, that person is at peace. There's no exile, there's no suffering, there's no problems. Rabbi Nazal says this is one of the things that's accomplished when a person davens this way with Mechoas Kapayim. Now Rabbi Nazal says, V'zeh pirush, with this we could also understand the pasuk in Tehillim where it says, Kivi choshak va'afaltehu. That kavyochel Hashem says that a Jew yearns to me, and I rescue him, I save him from trouble. Kivi, bigimatria, membeis. The two words, kivi, ki is 30, b is 12, is bigimatria 42. Hainu, gimel, pa'omim, yad. That's bigimatria three times yad, yud dalet, three times 14, representing these three hands, representing the concept of clapping hands, where a person takes one hand and a second hand and brings them together to form this third item. Shenizgale hacheshek shebelev bayodayim. What happens is that a person's feeling for Hashem is expressed in the hands. When a person feels a joy in their heart, they express it by clapping hands. That's one of the ways of expression. Kivi choshak. In this kivi, which is 42, which is three times yad, a person expresses their cheshek to Hashem, and as a result, v'zeh b'chinas mechos kapayim. That represents clapping hands. Al yidei zeh v'afalteyu. The pasuk says, as a result of doing that, Hashem says, I'll save you, I'll rescue you. Bechinas hamtoka sadinim. That symbolizes sweetening of the judgment, sweetening of the harshness.
Are there any pasukim in Torah or any parts of Mitzvah that would show where leaders of the Jewish people will actually clap during davening?
Not literally. There are pasukim that show raising one's hands in tefillah. There's a pasuk, Nisa levavenu el kapayim el keil bashamayim. Let us lift up our hearts into our hands to Hashem in heaven. Nisa that, and that's almost exactly what Rabbeinu Zal is talking about here. This concept of putting your heart in your hands means that when a person feels tremendous joy or strength in their heart, one of the ways that they express it is by clapping hands. So even though it doesn't literally say in the Chumash or the Shulchan Aruch that this is something to do, Rabbeinu Zal is giving us hints based on Sifrei Kabbalah and based on other places to show that this is a very healthy thing to do. Just incidentally, as a side note, to be aware, in the Shulchan Aruch it does discuss a question as to whether a person is allowed to clap hands on Shabbos, whether that's considered to be a type of music that's forbidden, and there are poskim in Shulchan Aruch that say that this should not be done. However, it's important to know that there are other poskim, chassidish poskim, that say there's nothing wrong with doing it in tefillah. To do it as applause, in other words, if somebody does something good and you want to applaud them, that everybody agrees you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But as far as clapping to a song, that's an item that's debated among poskim. There are definitely poskim that allow it, and this is our custom. Our custom is that we do clap on Shabbos for the Chodoidi or for Zmirois, you know, that it's definitely permitted. Gam al yidei mechoas kaf mevatel hamachloikis. Rabbi Nazal says, another item that's accomplished by clapping hands in tefillah is that it helps to eliminate machloikis. Kikol hamachloikis nimshochim mebechinas koirach al aharon. Because any type of conflict or controversy that exists in the world originates from the conflict that took place between koirach and aharon. That represents, in a sense, the highest form of conflict that's expressed in the Chumash, in the Torah. Shehem bechinas smola v'yamina. They symbolize the right and the left. The Kohanim always represent the right side, chesed. The Levim always represent din, gvura, harshness, the left side. So that Koirach represents the left, Aharon the right. And that's why the Zohar HaKadosh says, if Koirach would have served Aharon HaKohen, when the Levi serves the Kohen, it represents the left side being subdued by the right, which means the Gevura, the harshness, being subdued by Chesed, which is what we want. That's the right way. Because Koirach didn't want to do that, he tried to turn things over, that the left should rule over the right, in a sense. That's what created problems. So Rabbeinu Zal says here, Vayidei mechoas kaf, when a person claps hands, Nichlolim smoil biyamin, viyamin besmoil, venasim achtus. The left and the right are merged together, they become one. That represents the tikkun for machloikis. Because whenever there is a conflict between people, it's always that one is leaning towards one side, one is leaning towards the opposite side. There's a split. Split means one is interested in more in kindness, the other one in harshness, in whatever way it expresses itself. One wants to pay more for the item, one wants to pay less. One is willing to give more, one is tighter, whatever example it is. That's machlekes. The tikkun for it, this act of clapping hands, symbolizes right and left coming together, which is a concept of shalom. V'ze pirush heiru v'rokov tevel ro'aso. There's a pasuk that says that the lightning bolt of Hashem shone and it lit up the world. Tevel is one of the nicknames of the world. The borok of Hashem lit up the tevel. Ze bechinas mechoas kapayim. Rabbi Nazal says tevel ze bechinas mechoas kapayim. This word tevel symbolizes clapping hands. Ki yamin ze ayin beis, because the right side is represented by the number 72. 72 is the gematria of the word chesed, which represents the right side. Usmoil, the left side, ze resh yud vov. That's represented by the number 216, which is bigematria gevura, the word gevura or yira, which represent the left side, that has a numerical value of 216. Validei shenichlolim ze boze, nase shnei pomim riv, Bigimatria Tevel. And when the two get merged together, it generates twice Resh Yud Vov, which is Tevel. Why? Rabbi Nazal explains. Kigam Ayin Beis Shehu Yamin Yesh Boy Sholosh Pomim Ayin Beis Bigimatria Resh Yud Vov. Because we, in other words, you have to start off with understanding that 72 represents Chesed, 216 represents Gvura. Fine. Now let's put the Gvura aside for a minute. As far as Chesed is concerned, that 72 can sometimes be expanded to 216. Because Chesed, which represents Kohen, as we said earlier, when it came to the Kohen, Rabbi Nazal says, Ushloisha pomim ayin beis, zebechinas Kohen Godol, the Kohen Hedit, Usigan HaKohen. When the Torah speaks about Kohanim, it talks about three different levels of Kohen. The Kohen Gadol was one type of Kohen. The regular Kohen, Kohen Hedit, was a second type of Kohen. And then there's a Sigan Kohen, which is talked about in the Gemara, in the Torah. These three Kohanim represent three Ayin Bezes, three 72s, three types of Chesed, which is Bigimatria 216. So Gevura, we showed, was 216. And in Chesed also, when the Chesed is expanded, it's also 216. Twice 216 is 432, which is Tevel. Rabbi Nazar says, by clapping hands, bringing together the Chesed and the Gevura, it generates this Tevel sometimes. Val Yidei Shenisroa Tevel, and when this Tevel is shown, Hainu Mechoas HaKapayim, which means the clapping of hands, Al Yidei Zeh He'iru V'rokov. Through that, the lightning bolt of Hashem shines, Nistakein HaMachloikis HaNikro Borok. He'iru V'rokov means we shine a light into the Borok. What is Borok? Borok represents Machloikis, Rabbi Nazal says. Kamoy Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, Vayetze kaborok chitzoi. His arrow went forth like a lightning bolt. So we see a chetz is compared to borok. And the chetz, loshen machloikis. And the word chetz, which means arrow in Hebrew, the word chetz also means machloikis. Kamoy Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, Vayistemuhu bale chitzim. This is talking about the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik, that they disliked him. Vayistemuhu, they hated him, bale chitzim. The Targum says, bale palgusa, the ones who were involved in machlekes. So we see that the word chetz refers to machlekes. The Torah compares borok to chetz, vayetze kaborok chitzoi, so borok represents machlekes. Heiru, so when the Pasuk says, heiru verokov tevel, Rabbi Nazar says, when you want to shine a light into Borok, when you want to correct Machloikis, the way to do it is through Tevel. This act of clapping hands, which represents generating these two times 216, that makes a tikkun for Machloikis. Another case where we have this 72 times 3, we mentioned other times that there is a name of Hashem, the Shem Ayin Beis, which consists of 72 three-letter words. This is mentioned in the Gemara, and it's mentioned in the Zohar Kodesh, that there are three psukim in Beshalach. We're going to have it coming up in 2 weeks in the reading of the Torah, where it talks about the Jews going out of Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk says, there are three psukim there, three consecutive psukim, which the Zohar Kodesh shows, each one of them has exactly 72 letters in it. And there's a special formula. By taking the first letter of the first Pasuk of those three, the last letter of the second Pasuk, and the first letter of the third, that forms one of the names of Hashem, Vav, Hey, Vav, which is a name of Hashem. When we say on Hoshana Rabbah, Ani, Vohoi, Hoshiano, Vav, Hey, Vav is one of the names of Hashem. So too you take the second letter from the beginning, the second one from the end, and the second one from the beginning, that forms another name of Hashem. And this is called the Shem Ayin Beis, Hashem's name of 72, which consists of 72 words of three letters each. So we see again that this name of Hashem that's called Shem Ayin Beis, the Shem of Chesed, made up of 216 letters altogether. So that this 216 sometimes represents Gevurah, sometimes it could also represent this full measure of chesed, the three types of kohen, which represent three levels within chesed. Now Rabbi Nezal says, "V'zeh pirush." With this, we could also understand the pasuk in Tehillim where it says, "Kol ho'amim tikul chof." All nations of the world will lock hands together, will bind hands together. Rabbi Nezal says, "Loshnis chabrus." There, it's talking about becoming attached. All of them locking hands together. Ki shnei pa'omim ayin beiz riv bigimatria tikul. Because if you take these two numbers, the 72 and the 216, which represents chesed and gvura, twice that is bigimatria, the word tikul. When a person claps hands, the right hits the left and the left hits the right. It's two reactions. The chesed is nichlal in gvura and the gvura is nichlal in chesed. That's twice ayin beiz riv, which is bigimatria tikul, which represents a hischabrus. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Lihiois shekoidem shehetakti toira zois miksivas yodoy akdoisho kosafti mitchilo ktsas meinyin ze biatzmi. Because of the fact that before I copied over Rabbeinu Zal's notes, which is what we just learned now, this whole piece was actually Rabbeinu Zal's notes on this shir. Rav Nosson Zal writes that before I copied his notes, I first wrote it down myself in my own words. Kefima sheshamativ, I first wrote it down the way I heard it. Velihiois ktsas dvorim avoyorim shom ktsas yoser, and because in my notes it's explained a little bit more clearly, simply, al kein hetaktiv gam kein. Therefore, I'm presenting that also. Rav Nosson Zal is going to present now his notes on this shir. Ushnehem keechod toivim, and both together are helpful. It'll help a person understand this topic a little bit better. V'zehu, and this is Rav Nosson Zal's notes on this shir he's going to present now. Inyan hakoas kaf al kaf b'shas ha'tfila, regarding the topic of clapping hands during davening, kosuv b'pri etz chayim, it's written in the Pri Etz Chayim, there's a posik in Eov which says, sholev hoyisi v'yifar pareni, I was at peace, and Hashem shattered me, Parpareni means he turned me into crumbs. Now it's interesting to note that this word vayifar pareni, the Sifrei Kabbalah say that this you have par in there twice, peresh vayifar pareni. This word par represents the midas hadin of Hashem, because of the fact that there are within the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, there are five of them that are unique. In that they have two presentations. One presentation when they come in middle of a word, in the beginning of a word, or in middle of a word. When they open a word, or they in middle of a word, they look one way. And a second presentation when they close a word. The letter mem, when it comes at the end of a word, it's written differently than when it's written in middle of a word or in the beginning of a word. Mem, nun, tzadik, pei, chof. Those five letters of the Aleph Beis have a second form when they close a word. They're called oisiois stumois, closed letters. Closed always means a concept of harshness, judgment. Open your hands, open your heart, represents a concept of love and kindness. Closed fist, or locked up, represents harshness, judgment, midas hadin. These five letters, mem, nun, tzadik, pechof, are bigimatria 280, if you weigh them together. So that this number par represents midas hadin. When the pasuk, when Eov says vayifar pareni, Hashem smashed me into crumbs, this word par is used twice, referring to super midas hadin. Sholev hoyisi. First, I was at peace; everything was calm for me, and then Hashem shattered me. Now, Rav Nosson Zal explains. Sholev bigimatria gimel havayos v'gimel elikim. This word sholev is bigimatria, three times yud kei vav kei, and three times elikim, because it represents where the midas hadin is softened. Midas hadin is elikim. There's three forms of that. When each one of the three is covered with a yud kei vav kei, that represents peace. V'roshei tevois shel v'yosem l'cho sholoim b'gematria shin lamed vov. And also in Birkas Kohanim, when the Kohanim say the words v'yosem l'cho sholoim, that Hashem should place peace upon the Jewish people, the first letters of those three words spell this word sholoim. Because what is peace? Peace is when all the forces of judgment are covered and calmed by equal opposite forces of kindness. When there's three Yudke Vovkes to sweeten the three Elikims, then there's peace. Dahainu shegimel pomim havayo mamtik gimel Elikim. The three Yudke Vovkes sweeten the three Elikims. Kiyesh gimel yodayim. Rabbein Zal says, because there are three hands, Yad HaGdoila, V'Yad HaChazoka, V'Yad HaRoma, as they're referred to in the Torah. V'Hein Yad Yamin, Hu Yad HaGdoila, Yad HaSmoil, Yad HaChazoka. The right hand is called Yad HaGdoila in the Torah, the left hand is called Yad HaChazoka. V'Yidei Chavikas HaYodayim, and when a person brings both hands together, Nase Yad HaRoma, they generate this third hand, in a sense, which is called Yad HaRoma. V'alkein kishema. V'alkein kishema ke kaf al kaf. U'mechaber hayodayim b'tfilo nimtokim adinim. Rav Nosson Zal says, therefore, when a person claps their hands together during davening, that act sweetens the harsh judgment. Ki yad hu bechinas havaya. Because the word Yad represents Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Oisiois V'Dalet Oisiois. Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei has two formats. In its simple format, it's four letters. Yud, then He, then Vav, then He. In its Milui, in its full form, it's 10 letters, as we showed earlier. Vayidei Gimel HaYodayim Shehu Gimel Havayois. Therefore, when a person uses the three hands, which symbolize three times Yudke Vovke, Nimtokim Hagimel Elikim, they're able to sweeten the three Elikims, Shehem Hadinin Hayoitzime Hagoroin, which represent the harshness that comes forth from a person's throat, Shehu Bigimatria Gimel Elikim, because the word is Vahu Segulo Lizikoroin. This act of clapping one's hands during tefillah also helps a person to be able to have a good memory, to be able to have to remember the right things. Kemoy shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, nafshi bechapi somid v'soyroscho loy shochachti. That's the conclusion of that pasuk. Rav Nosson Zal explains now. Nafshi bechapi somid, nafshi haynu bechinas tefillah. The word nefesh symbolizes tefillah. Kamoy shekosuv, nafshi yotzo bedabroi. I give forth my soul in my words of prayer, in my words of tefillah. Bechapi somid, bechapi haynu kishemake kaf al kaf b'shas ha-tefillah. When a person uses their kapayim, their hands, during tomid, what's tomid? The korban tomid, the tefillahs that we have today, we learned earlier, Tfilois keneged tmidim tiknun, that the tfilois that we have correspond to the korban tomids that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash. So tomid represents tfila. Nafshi bechapi somid. When my hands are used during tfila, al yidezeh v'soyrotzcha loy shochochti. Through that I'm zeche not to forget your Torah. Ki hashikcho hu moichin dekatnus. Rav Nosson Zal adds now here, because forgetting comes from a constricted mind. Moichin dekatnus it's called. Bechinas Elohim, which is represented by Hashem's name Elohim, which represents Tzimtzum. Moichin dekatnus. Ukishem mamtik hadinim kanal. And we showed earlier that the act of clapping hands represents sweetening the din. It's Yudke Vovke over Elohim. When a person sweetens the din, then that person is zeicher to moichin de gadlus. Then there's no forgetting for that person. That person doesn't forget. V'alkein v'soyroscho loy shochofi roshei tevois shin lamed vov. And it's for this reason that the first letters of these three words, and your Torah I do not forget, the first letters of those three words make up this Shin Lamed Vav, which is three times Yud Kei Vav Kei plus three times Elikim. Dahainu, Al Yedei Shemamtik Gimel Elikim, the Gimel Havayis Kanal, through the fact that a person sweetens the three Elikims through the three times Yud Kei Vav Kei, through that, Ein Loi Shikha, that person will be saved from forgetting. And when does this hamtoka sadinim take place? Because when a person is davening, that's a time when a person can detect whether they're in a state of meichin de gadlus, an expanded mind, or meichin de katnus, a constricted mind. Because the words that come out of a person's mouth are a reflection of what state of mind they're in. When a person says, I'm not in a good state, I'm not in a good frame of mind now, so I can't talk. Talking is an expression of the frame of mind that a person's in. So when a person's davening and they're talking, that's when you can tell whether a person's in meichin de katnus or meichin de gadlus. During davening, if a person claps hands, that's hamtoka sadinim. Hamtoka sadinim brings a person to meichin de gadlus. Kamayshikosuv mipiv das usvuna. As the pasuk says in Mishle, from a person's mouth, we can tell their knowledge and wisdom. The das, the mouth is a reflection of the meichin. So therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says here, based on Rabbeinu Zal's words, that this shleimus of tefillah, when a person adds this item of clapping hands during tefillah, it helps make a tikkun for meichin de katnus, which a reflection of it is forgetfulness.
How is it that we see, let's say, if we go to Neshah, and you see the zakein in the back here, over the period, and the diagnosis that you don't see them clapping, at least certainly not ostentatious, it's certainly not what you would call clapping. And if you see it, it's very subdued, it's very hidden, it's off to the side. Is there, first of all, isn't the issue of the Vedas I was addressing the issue of clapping literally? In other words, making loud noises during davening? And if that is the case, then why don't we see it practiced by the leaders addressing?
I don't know whether it happens to be dafkin loud noises, but just bringing one hand to the other hand.
There's a few points I would want to make about this. Number one, the issue of doing this in a way that is ostentatious or that is noticeable to other people is dangerous. The reason being because, and this is an item that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about and all Sforim talk about, as soon as a person shows their feelings, in a sense, it takes a very, very big person to keep their feelings pure, meaning that they shouldn't be showing it for other people. That their showing of it should be really for Hashem, that kind of thing. So therefore, if you read about Rav Nosson Zal himself, he was like a pillar of fire. Not like a pillar of fire, he was like a hydrogen bomb. From what you read about him, when he learned these things, he was so pure in a sense, and so simple, and so straight, that he opted to ignore everybody and everything around him to an extent, and he clapped hands in tefillah. When you read about Rabbeinu Zal coming into the city of Breslov, and Rabbeinu Zal commented, he was standing in the entrance of the shul, we mentioned this in the beginning of the Torah, and he said to the people, how come we don't hear any noise here in tefillah? And Rabbeinu Zal suggested that he wanted to hear noise, he wanted to hear clapping, and then we hear afterwards, we read about it, that it was done. That number one in their shul, and Rabbeinu Zal told his students that you should know that we conquered the city of Breslov with our clapping of hands and with our dancing. That's how we did it. When you read about Rav Nosson Zal's life afterwards, when he went back home to the city of Nemirov, not in Rabbeinu Zal's shul, and he had his own minion like over there for sukkahs, they davened in the sukkah, he writes that the davening wasn't like in the regular shul, it was real davening, it was with clapping, you know, with tremendous islavus. It's, number one, they were on a level of pure, by them it was 100% pure and from the heart and nothing less. It seems that nowadays, especially, and especially when you're dealing with Bali Tshuva, when you're in the presence of Bali Tshuva, there's a few issues that come up. Number one, it seems that very often there are Balei Tshuva who normally, their norm is to want to be more expressive than non-Balei Tshuva. They feel, they have stronger feelings for tefillah or for a mitzvah, for tefillah, for Torah, or any mitzvah than the non-Balei Tshuva, that type. So they normally have a desire to be more expressive, to do the mitzvah with more feeling, more noise, or whatever it might, I don't mean feeling and noise synonymously, but to put more into it. And it seems that especially recently meaning in the past 10 years or so, in Breslov, there have been problems at times when people learn this kind of item and start practicing it in a way where they ignore the fact that anybody else is present. Let's say if some people are up to the silent Shemoneh Esrei, and one person who feels that they're davening too slow because they only spent, it only took them 40 minutes to get to the silent Shemoneh Esrei, and he needs 90 minutes. So when they're up to the silent Shemoneh Esrei, he's up to Baruch Shomar, or he's up to Oz Yoshir, and when the Zohar HaKadosh says he's supposed to say Oz Yoshir with a lot of simcha, he's clapping hands loud, you know, while the other people are davening their silent Shemoneh Esrei. I'm giving an extreme example of this. And this kind of thing has caused actual problems. I believe that it's as a result of this type of item that even the Zakenim of Breslov, when it comes to this type of item, go to the other extreme today, to keep a low profile, in a sense, to do it in a much more hidden, subdued way, most of the time, in order to cushion that other extreme. However, when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to L'chodoidi, when it comes to that type of item, there you see, there, that's the opportunity to express it, you know, for real. When it comes to Zmirois, a person singing Zmirois in their own house, those are occasions where a person, nobody's stopping you, nobody's watching you, and if a person has the feeling, they can do it without, that maybe I'm not really doing it for Hashem, maybe I'm doing it to show off to the guy next to me or to some other guy, I want to show how I'm davening with much more feeling than somebody else's, that kind of thing. So this issue of doing something that's visible to other people is a very delicate item, especially when it comes to tefillah. Because tefillah is called, the ikar in tefillah is kavonas halev. That's the ikar. Same thing with davening loud. We find that when you read about Rav Nosson Zal, Rav Nosson Zal davened loud, you know, it's written many, many places. And yet we find that today, among the Zakenim in Breslov, they don't daven in silence, that they certainly don't do, but at the same time, they don't daven loud, and I believe, again, it's for the same reason. Because of the fact that the generations today are much weaker, and most people today, if they were davening out loud, they wouldn't be talking to Hashem, they'd be talking to the guy sitting next to them, or three benches away, who they want this person, even if they, either consciously or subconsciously, there's a feeling of showing to a degree, as a protection for that, there's a very low profile that's kept and keeping it hidden to the extent that it's possible. But nobody, which chapter of Likutei Moran was written for Torah, doesn't apply to today. That's not an option either.
Isn't there a danger with that? Was understanding everything that you just said, that type of attitude, say removing spontaneity and removing once in a few months, if a person has that type of feeling, a pure type of feeling, removing that and discouraging and deadening that, in a sense.
Most definitely. There is a danger of that. And that's where a person has to always try to go up the middle, in a sense. That either extreme is no good. If a person's trying to be so hidden, if a person's always trying to play the hidden tzaddik, sometimes they become so hidden that they themselves can't even find their tzidkus anymore. They hid it so well that it went away, that kind of thing. And that's not either an option. A person has to figure out for themselves. A person, number one, you have to watch what Zakenim do, what our rabbis do, number one. And number two, also, sometimes it's a matter of a personal feeling. One person by nature is hotter, one person is colder, one person is more expressive, one, and this kind of thing isn't a constant item. One day a person feels it, one day a person doesn't. You know, it's important not to fake it, usually. There are some times that Rabbi Nezal says that even if you're not happy, sometimes if you make believe you're happy, you can pull yourself out of a depression or out of an unhappy mood and pull yourself into simcha. But it's a delicate line that you're walking here between turning into something that's phony versus doing something, you know, really with sincere feeling from the heart.
We discussed that closed letters, closed in general, is a den,
right,
not locus. So when you're clapping your hands, you're doing a combination of closing and opening.
I don't know if there's any discussion of that aspect, of whether the closing or opening is an issue at all, as much as the issue of taking right and left and bringing them together, making peace between right and left. Nothing to do with the issue of opening and closing. I haven't seen that, so it's not... I don't know.
Are there places in the Talmud where it's more appropriate to clap or less appropriate?
I gave some examples, certainly L'chadoidi, in other words, those parts of the davening that we sing, for sure, number one. Number two, I would say Shabbos. It's brought about the Arizal. In the Prayer Time, it's brought that the Arizal, during the week, davened silently, on Shabbos, a little bit louder. And again, if you look in the Breslov Shul, you'll notice a difference between Shabbos and during the week, that Shabbos, the davening is a little bit louder, a little bit stronger, a little bit more expressive than during the week. So those are examples. There are certain parts of the tefillah which the Zohar HaKadosh says, for example, Oz Yoshir. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when a person says that part of the tefillah which talks about Moshe Rabbeinu splitting the Red Sea and the Jews walking through that, you know, those layers, those 12 lanes in the Red Sea, the Zohar HaKadosh says when a person says that, they're supposed to picture. When a person says those words, Vayaminu Hashem Moshe Avdoi, and going into Oz Yoshir, a person's supposed to picture they're standing in front of this tremendous ocean, and it just split in front of them, and there's a whole nation of Egypt chasing after them, wanting to kill them, and they're walking proudly through these lanes, you know, in the ocean, while their enemies are being drowned behind them, you know, in the ocean. And a person's supposed to say Oz Yoshir with that kind of simcha, as if they were literally reenacting that whole miracle in front of them. So that's an example. Berchas Hamozayin is another example where the Shulchan Aruch quotes the benching, where the Arizal says that a person, for Berchas Hamozayin, a person's supposed to say it specifically with simcha. In other words, in general, we say as a rule, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, but there definitely are these particular places in the tefillah where it's extra. This just brings to mind a story, just to show the pshitus and tmimus of certain people. There was I don't know if it was a Baal Tshuva or a Ger in Oman, that it's brought that when they used to daven Shachris, when they would get to the paragraph of Ahava Soilam before Shema in the Shachris, when they would say that chapter, that paragraph, he would cry a lot during that paragraph. So somebody once got up the guts to go over to this person and say, those days they didn't have art scroll, and art scroll, we don't have today yet, art scroll in Russian, or maybe they do, but in any case, they knew that this person definitely doesn't know what he's saying, he doesn't know the meaning of what he's saying in Ava Salem. So somebody went over to him and asked him, how are you crying so much during this paragraph if you don't even know what it means? So he said to them, you're right, I don't know what the words mean, but I know that when I watched Reb Nachman Tulchinazal, when I watched him davening Shachris, I saw that when it came to this paragraph, he cried a lot. So I know probably there's a lot of good stuff in here. So I give it my all. And here again, this person wasn't making believe. This person had such faith, such emunas tzadikim, and emunah, that if he saw a tzadik, in other words, if he watched a tzadik and he saw that the tzadik knew that this was a place to really pour it out, that was enough to inspire him and to arouse him to do it also, period. He knew that that was a place to express feeling.
About the situation that you're mentioning, there was almost a Star Trek adventure. They later found the remnants of the United States, which is the flag, and they were worshiping the flag. So my question is, this particular guy that you mentioned,
Baal Tshuva, Reger,
whatever, who was doing it, without realizing what he's doing, he was just putting on the crocodile tears. does he get Gan Eden for that, or is that discounted against the fact that he's entertaining?
He obviously was not entertaining at all. No, this was a case of such a level of pure emunas sadikim that even without knowing what the words meant, in other words, the fact that he saw another, but there are certain people who would watch somebody else bend down and pick up a piece of paper, and they'd see these green pieces of paper on the floor, and they'd see somebody else bending up fast, grabbing them up as fast as they could, and rush to pick them up. And another person would say, I'm not going to do what that other nut's doing. Why should I be? And then they find out that in this country, those green pieces of paper are $100 bills. So this nut that was scooping them up real fast was making thousands of dollars. And this person who, because they didn't know, they never saw that piece of paper before because they were from a different country, they wouldn't bother picking it up. In other words, sometimes it pays even if a person doesn't understand. When the Jews stood at Har Sinai, one of their greatest achievements as a Jewish people was when they said, Naaseh v'nishma, that our attachment to Hashem, we trust Hashem so much that we're willing to commit ourselves to do first and understand second, which is illogical, irrational, nutty. There are people who would call it nutty, silly, dumb, it's primitive. What kind of person would make that kind of statement? First I'll do and then I'll understand. And that's considered to be one of the most outstanding statements in the history of the Jewish people. To be continued. Baruch Hashem.